I'm so glad to be here tonight, and thank you all for being here. May the Lord bless you as we open up the Word of God. I have three main points I want to emphasize tonight. I'll give you my outline right off the beginning. I want to speak to you tonight, first of all, chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Secondly, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And thirdly, my third point, if the Lord will help us, is complete in Christ Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power. If you would turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning in verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It is a great teaching of the Scripture, and certainly it is something that we rejoice in when God has saved us, knowing that we have been chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Now the word that is here translated chosen several times throughout the New Testament, the same basic word is translated elect or election in its different forms. We believe, and I think that I can speak for most everyone who's here tonight, that as we study the Scriptures, we know that God has a people. And those people sometimes referred to as his sheep, sometimes referred to as his people, sometimes referred to as the elect, or in this verse of Scripture and in this passage spoken of as being those who are chosen in him. Now, the thing that causes me to rejoice, to think that God placed his love upon me before the foundation of the world, that God chose me. I can't fully understand or even explain these things, but I sometimes say that God looked down through the years of time before there was time, before the beginning of the world, before Genesis 1:1. And God looked down through the years of time and he saw the human race fallen, depraved in Adam, hopeless and helpless. And you know, some people think the doctrine of election makes God to be an unfair God. But the fact of the matter is, if it were not for the fact that God has chosen some to salvation, none would be saved. I'm not saying that election is salvation, but election is unto salvation. I believe that those whom God the Father has given to the Son, in the process of time, every last one of them is going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing God working in their life by his grace, they're going to repent and believe the gospel. God is a God of grace. And he looked down through the years of time, and I cannot tell you why, because it wasn't something in me and it wasn't something in you. But the Bible tells us that God has chosen us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. That terminology, in Christ, and in him, and in whom we have redemption through his blood. That kind of terminology is found over 150 times in the New Testament, primarily in the writings of the Apostle Paul. And it has to do, it's a positional truth. God, according to the book of Corinthians, it is God who has put us in Christ Jesus. And it's a positional truth. Certainly it has its manifestation in a practical way in our lives. But it's a positional truth that God has taken His people and He has put us into Jesus. I sometimes like to think about how that Noah and his family were in the ark. And, you know, Noah wasn't any different by birth than anyone else. He was a sinner by birth. He was a sinner by practice. He was a sinner by choice. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God chose Noah. And you know the story, that when the flood waters came down upon the earth, they came down on Noah just like they came down on everybody else. Noah was saved and he was safe because by the grace of God, he was in the ark. And the ark took his beating. And you and I who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ has taken our beating on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus died, and standing there or hanging there or representing there His people, all of those who will ever put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and Jesus Christ took my sin upon Himself. You know, and I'm already digressing from my thoughts. But you know, I hope this whole conference, and I can't stay after tonight. For quite some time we've had a schedule for tomorrow, including a wedding, so I cannot stay to hear the speakers tomorrow. I wish that I could. But I hope that this whole conference, I didn't plan the conferences. Brother Hunt and the church here especially involved in the planning of this conference, but I hope this whole conference will focus on and be about Jesus Christ. That's really all that matters. And when we think about how that every last one of us is a sinner by birth, do you know that? You didn't become a sinner by sinning. You were born a sinner. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light. Well, you come down to chapter 2, and the Bible says, in verse number 7 or 8, the Bible says, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that first man's name was Adam. Every last one of us, by nature, is in Adam. And God said to the man, God commanded the man in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, thou mayest freely eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden. But there was one tree in the middle of the garden. God said, in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 3 says, now the serpent was more subtle than a beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And you remember how the Bible says that serpent, because Satan is not specifically mentioned, or the devil is not specifically mentioned in that chapter, although we know it was the devil who was using that serpent as a mouthpiece. The Bible teaches us that later on. And the serpent, the devil, said to the woman, yea, hath God said, putting a doubt into her mind or seeking to put a doubt into her mind about what God had said. And finally, the devil said in verse number 4, thou shalt not surely die. God had said, thou shalt surely die. The devil said, thou shalt not surely die. The Bible tells us that when the woman saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes of the tree, good for food and desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit there and she ate. She gave to her husband. He also ate. And in that act, Romans chapter 5, verse 19 tells me, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We became sinners in Adam. We were all in the loins of Adam. We were in Adam positionally. We were in Adam, vitally. And when Adam sinned, I use an illustration quite often. Where would you be tonight if your grandfather, now, I don't think I probably know the grandfather of any of you, but we all had a great, 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 great grandfather in Adam. But where would you be if your grandfather had died when he was just an infant? Well, you wouldn't be here. He wouldn't have been your grandfather. You wouldn't be here. If we could talk in terms that never came to pass, if we could talk about you and your grandfather in that situation, if your grandfather as an infant had drowned in the river, we could say that you drowned in your grandfather. Your experience was wrapped up in his. When Adam sinned, the Bible says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. When he died, we died. And by the way, Adam died and his wife died spiritually that very day. I know that Adam lived 930 years before he died physically. But he died. God said, in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he did. And you and I died in him. And now many generations later, when we were born, we came forth into this world sinners and spiritually dead. And we've received that sinful nature. It's been passed down to us. I believe there's not only sin that's imputed to us, I believe there's also sin that's imparted to us through the generations. And down through these generations, through our fathers, not through our mothers, through our fathers, beginning with Adam and all the way down through these generations, there's come to us a depraved, sinful nature. You know, in the Bible, the laws of inheritance through the fathers. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas begat Pharez and Zara of Thamar. Pharez begat Esrom. Esrom begat Aram. You know, it's always through the fathers. I know that there were provisions made. God made provisions that there weren't any men in the family that the women could inherit. But the laws of inheritance were through the fathers, through the men. You and I have received through our fathers that sinful nature. And the only exception to that, and it's not really an exception, but the only exception to that is Jesus Christ. Because when God the Father, about 2,000 years ago, would send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world, He bypassed the human male aspect of conception. And Jesus did not have a human biological father, and He did not receive from a human biological father a sinful nature. As far as His flesh is, Jesus, the angel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And the only one who's been born holy, and the only one who's ever lived upon this world, a life without sin, was Jesus Christ. And truly, Jesus didn't have to die. The law of God that has a claim upon me and upon you, because the Bible says the soul that sinneth it shall die, and the law of God that has a claim upon us. Jesus wasn't a sinner. He could have gone back to heaven without dying. Or He could have lived here upon the earth till today, but the Bible says Christ died for our sins. Now we were in Adam. By the grace of God, God has chosen a people in Christ Jesus. And those who are His people, who have been chosen of God. They've been chosen by grace. They've been chosen before the foundation of the world was laid, before the beginning of time. Those who are now saved, are saved on purpose. You didn't just slip on a banana peel and end up saved. Salvation is all by the grace of God. It's on purpose. I like Romans chapter 8. I know that you all do too. I won't necessarily turn there, but the Bible says, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Them whom He justified, them He also glorified. And you understand that from beginning to end there, from eternity past to eternity future, I don't necessarily know if we can use that terminology, but from eternity to eternity, it's the very same ones, not one more, not one less. Whom He foreknew, them He also did predestinate. Whom He did predestinate, them, not one more, not one less, He also called. Whom He called, not one more, not one less, He justified. Whom He justified, not one more, not one less, them He also glorified. And it's God who's done this. Salvation is of the Lord. I am so far off my outline right now that I'm going to turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 just to read some verses of Scripture here. Verse number 9, of course, verse 8, talking about God. Verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Notice this, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, that's not the end of the sentence. That's the end of the verse. That's not the end of the sentence. But I just want you to notice, God has saved us. He's called us. Not according to our works. Now, we hear that over and over again, and that's true. I'm going to be talking about works in just a moment, if I can. We're not saved by our works. There's nothing that we could do. There's no goodness in us. There's no merit. All of our efforts, all of our accomplishments, we're not saved by our works. God has saved us. He's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Of course, Ephesians 2 says that, doesn't it? We'll get to that in just a moment. Titus chapter 3 says that. Not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Not of works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. We rejoice in this. I rejoice in this. Because totally undeserving and unworthy, if I got what I deserved, and you too. But let me not be concerned about you. Let me just say that if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. I would have been there a long time. I would have had no but God in grace. Has chosen me, and He's called me, and He's saved me. That's the reason why we ought to continually praise and worship the Lord. You know, when we enter into His gates, we ought to enter in with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Because He's the one that's done it all. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, not only are we chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, but we are also created in Christ Jesus unto good works. When God saved us, He left us here upon the earth for a reason and for a purpose. He didn't take us home to heaven immediately. But He's left us here for a reason and for a purpose. That purpose could be stated, I suppose, in different ways, but that purpose is that we might bring honor and glory to the Lord, whether we eat, whether we drink, or whatever we do. To do it all to the glory of God. There in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, where I read a little while ago, it talks about to the praise of the glory of His grace, and how that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Good works. We're not saved by our works, but we are created. And that word reminds us again of the work of physical creation. God created all things. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And God has created all things. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three members of the Godhead. Sometimes we refer to that as the doctrine of the Trinity, but the word Trinity is in the Bible, but the word Godhead is found three different times. The triune God created all things. And Jesus Christ, the Word, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things. By Him all things consist. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. And the Bible testifies that all three members of the Godhead, if you please, involved in creation. And just as that first creation, as the physical creation, was the work of God, and things that exist weren't brought about by gradual, random processes, but God spoke the Word, I think 10 times there in Genesis chapter 1. God spoke the Word, and there came into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. He just spoke. Psalm 33 says, by the breath of His mouth, these things came into existence. Now, you and I who are saved, God has made us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. And again, there's that terminology that I like so well. And we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And God has made us through the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the working of God, not through some natural processes of development. You didn't become a Christian. You didn't become one of God's people by simply developing certain attributes or certain characteristics in your life, and then one day you woke up and say, you know, I've got Christian I've evolved into a Christian. No, you didn't. If you're a true born-again Christian, it's because God has made you one. And He has created us unto good works. I'm afraid that sometimes we emphasize so much that we're not saved by our works. And I don't know if we can emphasize that too much, but that some people think, well, it doesn't matter then whether I, as a Christian, have any works in my life or not. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, we're to be careful to maintain good works. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews, we're to, and we like this first word, provoke one another. We like that word, don't we? But it says provoke one another to good works. And faith without works is dead. We think sometimes that because I'm a Christian, it doesn't matter if there's any works or there's any manifest obedience in my life or not. I believe that we'd better think that thing over again. The very evidence, one of the very chief evidences that we are saved and the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And of course, if you're saved, that's true. If you're saved, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. If a man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. One of the evidences that you're saved and that the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, He's called the Spirit of Christ. And if the Spirit of Christ lives within you, you're going to manifest Christ-likeness and the life of Christ, who went about doing good. Healing those who are oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10. If the Holy Spirit lives within your heart, in your life, then you're going to manifest holiness. If the Spirit of Truth, you know he's called the Spirit of Truth. If the Spirit of Truth dwells within your heart and life, you're going to manifest truthfulness. I believe he's called the Spirit of Grace. If the Spirit of Grace dwells within your heart, you're going to manifest graciousness and the grace of God. I believe that there are some obligations that God's people have to grace. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us something. That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. It's not just a matter of salvation. It's a matter also of living the life of the Lord Jesus Christ day after day. Go to Colossians chapter 2, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. More of the context should perhaps be read. But verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Complete in Christ Jesus. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can look some things up in the English. And the word there that is translated complete in verse number 10 is a form of the Greek word that's translated fullness in verse number 9. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells. We believe and teach, and you all know, that Jesus Christ is God. Right? I mean, in the beginning, again, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who is that Word? It's a person. All things were made by Him. Verse number 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That Word, I have here in my hands the written Word of God. Jesus is the living Word of God, and they agree and in everything. Jesus is the living Word. And He's God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." That's Jesus. John chapter 14, when Jesus was about ready to go to the cross and then to ascend to the Father, and He said, you know, in verse number 6, Thomas had said, "Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." And then Philip said, another one of the 12, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." That's all we want, just show us the Father. And Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known Me? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father." And when we look at Jesus, we see God manifest in the flesh. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the people in Colossae, apparently from what we've read, the people in Colossae were trying to put Jesus, or they were tempted to put Jesus sort of to the side, and thinking that you could have more spirituality by philosophy and by worshiping angels, and they were guilty of setting Christ aside. I suppose every one of us has a philosophy called the philosophy of life, but if your philosophy is not focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd better get rid of it. You better get rid of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, to have our hearts and our minds focused upon Him, to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And Jesus Christ is the head. Even these people who are wanting to worship angels, He's the head of all principalities and powers. You don't need to come through some other, shall I say, mediator. There's only one mediator between God and men. That's man Christ Jesus. You don't, worshiping angels and being involved in all the things that people are involved in today because they think this is going to bring me closer to God. We enter into all the fullness of God. We are complete in Him. John said, "And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." We enter into the fullness and the completeness. What do you need, shall I say, more than Jesus? What do you need other than Jesus? I haven't really preached what I was going to preach tonight, but I want you to know this. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an old-time preacher, I don't even remember who he was, what his name was, but one of those old-time preachers said something to this effect. We think sometimes that we need this and that and all these material possessions in the world to make us happy. But he said, then when we lose this, and we lose that, and we have to get rid of this, and we get rid of that, and all we have left is Jesus, He said, then we find out that's really all we needed to begin with. All we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trying to find happiness in all the gadgets, all the things of the world. I'm not saying we shouldn't have material things. But material things so often get the upper hand in our life. And we forget what life is all about. Would you bow your head with me in prayer? Our Father and our God, through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit, we lift up our voices and our hearts to you in thanksgiving and in praise for your grace that you have chosen us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before you in love. We thank you. You have created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, which you have before ordained that we should walk in them. And we also thank you that we are complete in Christ Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power. Thank you for grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for your Word. Help us to hide away in our hearts that we might not sin against you. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.